Now, normally, if I can use a meal illustration, we have our sermon in the second half, and it's like a three-course meal, isn't it? All right? Well, we're not going to have that today. What we're going to have is little sermon canapes, all right? So we're not going to have a big chunk at the end. We're going to have lots of little chunks as we go through. And in our services in December, we've been looking at Bible passages that from the Old Testament written hundreds of years before the Lord Jesus was born, but they refer to him. They're like forecasts or predictions of his coming. And I would like to suggest that the reading I've been giving you today is the least well-known of them all. So thank you very much, Gordon, or whoever gave us these subjects. So it's from the book of Deuteronomy. Now, what have we had so far? Well, we've had the place where Jesus would be born. We got that prophecy from Micah. It would be Bethlehem. We had the person who would be born from Isaiah, a son given, a child born. We've had the process from Isaiah, a virgin shall conceive. And today we've got a promise from Deuteronomy 18. And it says this, the Lord said to me, that's Moses, the Lord said to Moses, I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their brothers. I will put my words in his mouth and he will tell them everything I command him. If anyone does not listen to my words that the prophet speaks in my name, I myself will call him to account. So what we've got today is a promise. A promise from God to Moses that a prophet would be coming. And what we want to remind ourselves today is that that promise was fulfilled when Jesus came. Let's just have a think about for a minute. What is a prophet? What is a prophet? What does he do? What's he for? What's he all about? Well, we have a bit of a clue when you go to Exodus chapter 7. And there's a surprising little verse there. It's to do with Moses and Pharaoh. You remember Moses had to go to Pharaoh and ask Pharaoh to let the people go. And God says to Moses, he says this, see, I have made you like God to Pharaoh, and your brother will be your prophet. Now, Moses had a brother who was called Aaron. And Moses had said to God, I'm not very good at public speaking. I couldn't give a sermon to Pharaoh. I couldn't speak in a good way to him. And God says, all right, we will use your brother Aaron. He will be the prophet. He will speak on our behalf to Pharaoh. And so what a prophet is one who I've called him a communicator. He speaks the message. He speaks a message to others. He's got something to say that's worthwhile listening to, even if people don't want to obey it. But he's more than that. He's a communicator who brings God's message. And in the verse we had from Deuteronomy, God said, I will put my words in his mouth. He will tell them everything I command. So a prophet is someone who communicates God's message. And what is that message? Well, I've summarized it like this. The prophet, the communicator, the spokesperson, speaking God's word, he would bring lessons from the past. He would say to the people, look at what happened in the past. This is what will happen in the present if you don't change your way. He would give warnings and instructions for the present. This is what you must do. You're doing this wrong. You must change your ways. And he would bring predictions about the future. He would bring predictions about the future. And that's what we've been thinking about. Micah, Isaiah, and now from Moses in Deuteronomy. So that's what a prophet's all about. A communicator who brings God's message. We've got this verse from Hebrews in chapter 1. In the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways, but in these last days, he has spoken unto us by his Son. You know, there are lots of great prophets in the Old Testament, but Jesus is the one who is most of all. He is the best of all. He is the greatest of all. Was this promise fulfilled in Jesus? Did he come as a prophet? He did. We can look at verses like John 18, 37. Jesus said, for this reason I was born, and for this reason I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me. And in John 14:24, he says, these words you hear are not my own, they belong to the Father who sent me. And if we're to go over to Acts 3:22, which we haven't got time to this morning, we'll see that in his sermon on that day, Peter says, he quotes these exact verses from Deuteronomy 18, speaking of a prophet who's coming, and he says to the people, Jesus Christ has fulfilled that promise of God, and he has come upon us as God's communicator. And so we come to remember the one through whom God has spoken, one who God has communicated to us. We're going to sing Carol 71, Child in a Manger, Infant of Mary. Look out for the word prophet in this song when we get to it. Number 71, Child in a Manger, Infant of Mary. We'll hear the music and then we'll stand to sing. I don't believe I must have looked at those slides 10, 12 times, and there's still a spelling mistake there, so I'm sorry about that. Let's just have a word of prayer, shall we? Bring our worship to God. We pray for ourselves. And let's think also those who are had their lives turned upside down with flooding in the north of the country. And we'll pray for our fellow believers who are struggling in other places. So let's pray, shall we? Oh God, our Heavenly Father, we praise you for the great promises that we see fulfilled in the coming of the Lord Jesus, who we have remembered at this Christmas time. We praise you that you spoke in the past through the prophets, but the Lord Jesus has come as your last great communicator. He is the one who you have spoken to us, and he is your Son. We praise you for his coming into the world. We praise you for all that he has come to mean to us, not only from his birth, but above all from his death, his resurrection, and his ascension back to glory. We praise you that because of these things, we can be truly blessed by yourself. We pray that each one here will truly have remembered the Saviour and given thanks to you that he is our own Saviour and Lord. We praise you indeed for the message that you would seek to bring even now, that there is a message of great joy to all people, that to us has been born a Saviour who is Christ the Lord. We just ask that many people will come to hear and understand this message at this Christmas time, we pray. We want to pray for ourselves. This is our last Sunday of this year, and we look back and we give thanks to you for your goodness to us, for bringing us through another year. Perhaps the way has been difficult for some, with ill health and family issues and money problems and other of the many things that can come into our lives, but you've seen us through. We give thanks for the good times we've enjoyed too in the last year, seeing our families grow up and maturing, for all that we've enjoyed in holidays and family times together. We give thanks to you, Heavenly Father, for the times when you have been particularly close to us, when we have felt you, as the Lord Jesus said, never leaving us and never forsaking us. We give thanks for your blessing and your goodness on us. We give thanks for all those plans you have for us for the new year when it comes. We don't know what it will hold, but help us to go on walking by faith, holding on to you and knowing that you are with us. We just pray for ourselves, just be with us and bless us in our lives from this point onwards. We want to pray for the things we see in the news, and we pray for those who are suffering flooding at the moment. It must be so tragic to have your homes so flooded and so much destroyed, and we pray for these people. We pray that there will be an improvement in the weather, that the floods will recede soon, that you help them get their lives back to normal. We pray for those who are working to bring aid and help to them. May you bless them in their work, we pray. We pray for our fellow believers in other countries who may be displaced, who are homeless, who have nowhere to call their own at the moment. We want to pray for them. We ask that aid might reach them and that you will continue to work for good in their lives. May there be a cessation in the year to come of all these various places where there is strife and turmoil. Man's inhumanity to man revealed for all to see, a result of sin. And we pray that the one who is the Prince of Peace might in the meantime, until he comes, bring a measure of peace to this sad world of ours. And so, Heavenly Father, we look to you for your blessing on us through this morning. May we be encouraged as we consider your wonderful promises and how they are always fulfilled. May this give us hope and consolation for the future, we pray. Just bless our time together. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We're going to sing another carol together. 3, 4, 5. 3, 4, 5. It came upon the midnight clear, that glorious song of old. And look out for prophets in this carol as well. 3, 4, 5. We hear the music and then we'll stand to sing. Thought of when it spoke about those who have weary steps and slow, that might come to us all one day, mightn't it? A communicator, how best do you communicate a message to people? Well, the Bible tells us God has communicated something of himself in the creation around us. It tells us something of his power, of his design, of his love for beauty, although of course it's been spoiled as sin has come into the world. Although they speak, they're a bit limited, isn't it? It tells us something about God, but not the full. Could we use music to communicate? I've got some pieces of music, and I'm going to play them to you, and I want you to think what the composer is trying to communicate to you. Okay? I won't give you a clue on the first one, but I might have to, but we'll see how we get on. So it's 20 seconds, don't shout out, and then I'll ask you what you think the name of this piece is, what the composer is trying to portray in his music. Ideas, what he was trying to conjure in your mind with that piece of music. Abby knows, I think. It's a what? A graceful swan. Yes, exactly right. Okay. So it's a graceful swan. It was a bit like that, wasn't it? You know, just gliding across the water. See how you get on with this one, number two. In the front, any ideas? Big creature? No? That Joshua? It's an elephant. Yes, isn't that obvious? Difficult to communicate with music, isn't it? Let's have another one. What does this conjure in your mind? What's it trying to communicate to us? Fish, it's the aquarium, all right? Here's number four. Not so much living creatures, it's dead creatures, this one. What about this one? What about this one? Anybody? Abby? It's the fossils, yes, it's their bones knocking together, okay. Not an animal, this one, something completely different. This one, this was an easy one, surely. It's a train, yes. Anybody know the piece of music? It's Coronation Scott, all right? Coronation Scott. So, for music, can't you? It can stir our emotions, can make us happy, can make us sad, get us thinking about things, but not very good. What if we were to use signs and things like that? What if we were to use trying to get a message across without speaking? Abby's going to give us some mimes, all right? And we've got to guess what she's miming, all right? Want to come up to the front, Abby? I'll move this and you can stand at the front so everybody can see you on either side. So let me just... Abby and I haven't rehearsed this, all right? So, well, see how she gets on. Here's her first communication without speaking. Right. What's she doing there? Cleaning her teeth. Is that right? Yes, well done. Okay, well, that worked. What about the next one? Pardon? Winding the baby. I've got burping the baby. We obviously come from a rude apart. Number three. It's a very shortened version, but that's good. Nice cup of tea. Well done. This is working quite well, isn't it? What about number five? Can you think what it is? Oh, no, number four. Putting a coat on, well done. And the last one. Sweeping up a mess on the floor, well done. Give her a clap. Bit limited that, isn't it? You could only give a little bit, and of course, Colin was stuck. Couldn't communicate to him. Well, you know, creation works. Music, not so good. Mime can work. The best thing, of course, is words. Somebody to speak. Somebody who can express themselves in words. And Jesus, of course, came as the Word. That's something he's called in John chapter 1. Queen referred to this a little bit from this passage in her Christmas message, didn't she? And it says in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. And it says later, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus came as the Word. He's the fullest expression of God. Just as we use words to express ourselves, he expresses to us who God is. He was there at the beginning. He came into our world, he left our world, gone back to heaven, and he lives in the power of an endless life, says the scriptures. But of course, he was only here for 33 years, physically here on earth. But God has allowed us to have his words and the things he did recorded for us in the Bible. And we believe here that this book we have, the Bible, is God's inspired word. The Old Testament, the Gospels, the Acts telling us what happened, the letters, the Revelation, these things all come together as a wholeness, as God's message for us, God's words for us, spoken as they were at the time, but written down so we can have them and they can be here for many decades, years, centuries to come. And so we have the written word of God, our Bible, as God's message for us. And that's how he communicates what he wants us to know. Let's have another carol, 537. And after this, the youngsters who are going upstairs to Discovery Club, they'll go, but the Digging Deeper group are staying downstairs today for a change. 537, on Christmas night, all Christians sing to hear the news, the angels sing. We'll hear the music and then we'll stand to sing. Youngsters are going upstairs now, little ones. Just some rearranging of babies at the back there, okay? Just to get them sorted out. What I thought I would do is work through the verse that we had. So we've been thinking about how God said to Moses, I'm going to promise to send a prophet. And the next part of the verse said, I'm going to send a prophet like you, Moses, a prophet like you. Well, how was Jesus like Moses? How was Jesus like Moses? Well, I thought back to Moses' life, and I thought there are some lessons that we can learn from that to remind us of what the Lord Jesus is like and what he can do for us. Obviously, Moses was a communicator. God spoke to Moses. God gave the law, the Ten Commandments and so on, to Moses. God gave the instructions for the tabernacle to Moses. Moses spoke these things on God's behalf to the people. He was their leader. He was their communicator from God to them. The Lord Jesus, as we've said, comes as God's communication to us. He brings God's words to us. He said, and we could have looked at it lots of times, I am not speaking of myself, I'm speaking the words that God wants me to speak. So these are special words that Jesus brings to us. Because of who he is as the Son of God, they've got special value and special importance. But then, Moses was what I called an intercessor. He spoke for the people to God. He not only spoke what God wanted him to say, he spoke about the people to God. And the Bible tells us the Lord Jesus is like that. For his people, he's an intercessor. He intercedes on our behalf before God. It puts it like this. We have an advocate with the Father, a defense counsel, someone who speaks to God on our behalf. And Moses was like that. I don't know if you remember the story of the golden calf when Moses was up in the mountain talking with God, and the people made a golden calf because they wanted something they could see to worship, and something that they brought, as it were, in their minds from the world, from Egypt that they'd been in. And God was so angry with them that they had abandoned him so easily. And we read the verses like this. Moses sought the favor of the Lord his God for the people. Moses sought the favor. He interceded for them. And Jesus still does that. We've got examples when he was here on earth. You remember Peter? The Lord said, Satan wants to have you, Peter, but I've prayed for you. Not least on the cross when he said, Father, forgive them. He intercedes for us. And that's great to know as we go into a new year. As we look back, perhaps there are times when we realize, as a Christian, we haven't lived the sort of life we should have lived. We haven't behaved with the sort of Christian behavior we should have shown. We haven't said words that were always positive and encouraging. Sometimes we've been guilty of saying rude and un-Christian words. These things are dead and gone, and to a certain extent, we can't bring them back. But the Lord Jesus is on our side, and he understands. We need to look to him to bless us for the future. And the last thing that Moses was a mediator. He came between the two. He came between God and the people. And Moses actually said to God, when God was angry with the people, and I'm going to destroy them, God said, I'm going to start again with you, Moses. And Moses says, look, blot me out of your book in their place. Blot me out of the book you have written, he said. He stood between the people and God. And that's what the Lord Jesus has done for us, isn't it? He stands between us, who are sinful people, and God, who is holy, and he makes a bridge between the two. And that's why he came, not just to bring words, but through his death, to achieve that which no one else could achieve, to make that bridge between us and God, because he was willing to take the punishment that should have been ours, so that God can still be just and say that sin is dealt with, but we can go free and have that forgiveness through faith and trust in the Lord Jesus and what he has done for us. The Bible, of course, says there's one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. There's nobody else. You know, there's no priest or pope or anybody like that. We don't look to him to give us anything that we need. We look to our relationship with the Lord Jesus. And the Bible tells us it's through faith in him that we can come to God. And that he's the only way that comes to the Father. How marvelous it is that the Lord Jesus was willing to come and do this for us, to be our Savior, as we think about at Christmas. Now, we're going to sing another song now. It's a new one. It's number 425 in the book. It's called Look to the Skies. Now, I hadn't sung it before, but when we had the choir from Sherrow Heath Methodist Church for the Senior Citizens Tea, this was one of the songs they sang, and I really liked it. And I was really surprised when I was looking through the Mission Praise book to choose my hymns for today to see Look to the Skies was in the book. And so what we're going to do is have a go at singing it. I don't know whether any of you know it. Anybody? Perhaps? One or two, perhaps? Right. So I'm going to show you a video. Now, I searched the internet for hours trying to find a good video for this song. I don't like to denigrate the young lady who's going to be singing to us, but she's doing her best, all right? But I thought we would have it because it will give you an idea of the tune, all right? So it's not exactly an orchestra, is it?
Look to the skies, there's a celebration. Lift up your heads, join the angel song. For our Creator becomes our Saviour as a baby born. Angels amazed, bow in adoration. Glory to God in the highest heaven. Send the good news out to every nation, for our hope has come. Worship the King, come see His brightness. Worship the King, His wonders tell. Jesus our King is born today. We
a little bit pink on there, but I think it's just a copying from the video. You got an idea of the tune. So what we're going to do is I'll give ourselves a pat on the back. You did very well indeed, considering it was a new one too. That's a good one though, isn't it? Nice catchy tune. We've been singing it quite a lot. What was the next part of our verse? God said to Moses, this prophet I'm going to send you will come from among his brothers. Now, in the story of Christmas, we get the angels bringing the message, don't we? There was Gabriel who spoke God's words. But an angel isn't like us, is he? But Jesus is. That's the point, isn't it? He came to be, as it were, one of us. To be one of the human family. A brother, if you like. The Word became flesh. And I've quoted this verse from Hebrews 2:14 just to remind us that when Jesus came as this prophet of God, it says this, since the children have flesh and blood, we got that, haven't we? He too shared our humanity. And that's the wonder of the incarnation. The one who was the Son was born in that manger in Bethlehem. He was one of us. I'm going to show you a video that the chap showed at the Nats Carol service when we were here. It's a reworking, I think, of the Waitrose Christmas advert. And a little girl who's looking for God, and she sends him some messages, and she tries to get the messages to God by holding them up in the wind and firing them in an arrow up to the sky and launching them as a paper plane. And she's asking, you know, God, are you there? God, do you love me? And God, how can I know? All right, so enjoy the video.
I would like to leave this city, this old town don't smell too pretty. I can feel the warning signs running around my mind. And when I leave this planet, you know it's day, but I just can't stand it on. I can feel the warning signs burning around my mind.
Call it, she writes, God, are you there?
So here I go, I'm still scratching around in the same old hole.
She writes, God,
my
do you
body
love me?
Feels yellow, my mind is very old. So what
she says,
do
God,
you say? You can't give me the dreams, it ain't mine anyway. You're half a world away. Yeah, you're half a world away.
The manger comes down in balloons, Colin, over the city. The card says, the best present I could give you, love from God.
You're half a world away. I've been lost, I've been found in a dark field town. You're half a world away. I've been lost, I've been found in a dark field town.
Listen to John 3:16. So what can we take into the new year? God loves us, sent his son to save us. The Lord Jesus is on our side. He came to be a mediator between us and God, but he goes on our side. We have the promises of God that we can rely on. Let's have another carol. Once in Royal David City, number 539. Chose this hymn because it reminds us that the God who came to us came as a baby, was born in a manger at Bethlehem. And I think there's a line in there about he was little, weak and helpless, tears and smiles like us, he knows, and he shareth in our gladness, and so on. It's a reminder that he came to be one of us. He's been this way before. He didn't sin, he didn't do any wrong, but he does identify with us. He shared our humanity. So we'll stand to sing 539. If you're doing it from the book, we're not going to sing verse number 3. Prophet like Moses, a prophet from amongst his brothers, a prophet whom God says, I will put my words in his mouth and he will tell them everything I command. What did a prophet do? When he brought God's message, he spoke about the past. And when the Lord Jesus came, he spoke about the past, didn't he? He spoke about, for example, Adam. He spoke about Noah. He spoke about Lot's wife. He spoke about Jonah. He spoke about Solomon. And in the present, he gave warnings and instructions, didn't he? We think of the Beatitudes. Blessed are those, he says. And in the parables, he gives people an opportunity to understand in a different sort of way what God's message is for them. And of course, the Lord Jesus also gave predictions for the future about the destruction of the temple. And he spoke about his second coming. And of course, before his death and resurrection actually happened, he could tell the disciples, this is what's going to happen to me. I'm going to be crucified, and on the third day, I'm going to rise again. He was a great prophet. He spoke God's words, and these were the words that God wanted him to say. There are lots of different words, aren't there? I've just put a selection of them on there. Helpful words, loving words, hurtful words, honest words, encouraging words, inspiring words. And there have been lots of inspiring words, and I'm just going to clip through some slides that I don't want to have. Let's just try this one, see if it'll come on. But Jesus speaks words with the authority of God. I was going to show you a slide with Henry V's speech to his troops. I was going to show you the slide of Elizabeth I, you know, to her troops at Tilbury. You know, I'm the body of a woman, but I have a heart of a king and a king of England at that. We were going to look at some of Winston Churchill's words during the war, inspiring words that moved a nation. But Jesus stands above all these with words from God that are important from us and that affect us. And I've just chosen one here. Jesus said, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. And that's what he offers to us in his grace and mercy. If Jesus' words are of such importance, do you ever read them? Do I ever read them? The Bible is a big book. Big chunky book. I wonder how much of Jesus' words we spend time in reading. And having read them, put them into practice. I'm going to make a New Year resolution, and I wonder if anybody will join with me in it, to read through the Gospels and to particularly pay attention to Jesus' words. Anybody like to join me? Don't put your hand up. See how we get on, shall we? And then he was to be a prophet. This is the other side of the thing. God is going to speak through this prophet and give him the words to say. But this is the other side of the coin. God says of this prophet, if anyone does not listen to my words that the prophet speaks in my name, I myself will call him to account. So the prophet's going to speak, and people will have to decide, are they going to follow what the prophet says or not? And it's the same with Jesus. He speaks the words. God speaks to us in his word, the Bible, for us now, today. Are you going to believe in Jesus or not, is the message that comes through. And that's the challenge for us. To listen to Jesus' words is more than just taking them in. It's putting them into practice. And do you remember the story that Jesus told of the two builders? And he says, these are like people who hear my words, and one of them builds their life on the way I want them to build their life, and the other one doesn't. Now, this is a bit of a silly video. It's obviously done by students, and we know what they're like. But it might make the message, it might make the point.
And Jesus said, anyone who listens to my teaching and obeys me is wise, like a person who builds a house on a solid rock. Like this person.
Here is a rock. On this rock, I will build my new house.
Though the rain comes in torrents, and the floodwaters rise, and the winds beat against that house, it won't collapse, because it was built on a rock.
Phew! My house is still standing! It's okay!
But anyone who hears my teaching and ignores it is foolish. Like a person who builds a house on sand. Like this guy.
Look! It's sand! I'm gonna build my house on this. Lovely sand. Alton, look at my house!
When the rains and the floods come, and the winds beat against that house, it will fall with a mighty crash. After Jesus finished speaking, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, for he taught as one who had real authority.
Going into a new year, and we're going to aim to build our lives on the teaching of Jesus. Will it be a reality for us, or will it just be a theory? And that's what we want to make sure that in this church, amongst yourselves, amongst me and others, that the theory becomes a reality, that we work it out in practice, so that people around can see that we're different because we're followers of Jesus. We see the sort of life he wants us to live, and we put it into practice. Of course, as we've said before, as a prophet, just with his words, Jesus couldn't save us. It's through his death and his resurrection that these things become possible. It was in his death and resurrection that he came to achieve what the angel said he would be. Remember, he will save his people from their sins. And to us, like the angel said, I trust he is a savior, Christ the Lord. Old Testament prophets, they all died. The Lord Jesus, as the great prophet, he lives forever. And that's wonderful. God still calls people today. He wants us to be his followers. He wants us to be part of his family. He wants us to know and study our Bibles so that the Holy Spirit can work through that and give us what we need to be able to put these things into practice. And I trust, therefore, that we'll listen and respond to what Jesus says. We're going to sing a carol to close with, number 697. 697. Thou didst leave thy throne and thy kingly crown when thou camest to earth for me. May it be that more than ever before, as we move into 2016, there'll be room in our hearts for the Lord Jesus. There's lots of things that can push you out, but may we make space for him. We'll stand to sing 697. Close of our service. There's tea and refreshments, coffee and refreshments afterwards if you'd like to stay. We'd like to We'd like you to do that and share some fellowship with us. I'm just going to commend ourselves to the Lord as we come into a new year. We'll ask for his blessing on that and ask that what we've heard today, we will have more room in our heart for the Lord Jesus, that we will listen to his words and that we will live them out day by day. Let's pray, shall we? Our God, our Heavenly Father, we praise you that you have spoken to us in the Lord Jesus, that promised prophet who would come. We praise you that in all your promises, they will be fulfilled. We take encouragement from those prophecies that have happened in the past. And we know, therefore, that your predictions about the future and what will happen are just as valuable and will come to pass in your own good time. We know that we're looking for the Lord to come to the air for his own, and we don't know when that will be, but help us to be ready, we pray. We know the Lord Jesus will be coming back to this earth to establish his kingdom. We don't know when that will be. We pray, Heavenly Father, that before that time, many will turn to yourself and be saved, will be rescued from the wrath to come. We just ask that in the year that lies ahead, you'll be with us and help us. We praise you that we have in the Lord Jesus, one who can sympathize with us as our great high priest, for he has passed this way before. We praise you that he intercedes for us. We praise you that he is that great mediator who has given himself for us so that we can enjoy all the blessings of God that are ours. And so we close with this benediction to him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you before his glorious throne without fault and with great joy. To the only God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, power and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen.